The following is a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
In his playing days, he was known as the Igniter. Now, he's here to kickstart your Sunday Twins fix. It's the Paul Molitor Show.
You know, he's been hit a mistake a long way. It's fun to watch. There's not a lot of guys who can close on balls like that. It was quite a play. Just a dominant start for him.
The Paul Molitor Show is sponsored by Killer Brew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. It's how memories are created and legends are made. Now, here are the hosts of the Paul Molitor Show, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
Well, good morning. Welcome to October. Jack Morris, who has a pretty good track record in the month of October, not with us here today as he is off. Paul Molitor does join us for the Paul Molitor Show. I am Chris Atterbury. And, Paul, good morning to you. And you're joining us from a secret location. I'm just going to tell everybody you're in the middle of running the marathon. How about that?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little busy downtown today between the marathon and football, Twins game, last regular season game. But no, with the later start today, we're doing this via phone, which we haven't had to do too often for home games, but we'll make it work.
Yeah, later start, obviously, because baseball wants every game to start at the exact same time. Now, no games are going to impact the playoffs this year, but that is kind of the rationale behind the start time. Hey, speaking of marathons, I know you're a big biker, and as an athlete, when your professional career ends, people look for different outlets. Did you ever go the running route? Did you ever think, yeah, I should run 26 miles?
To be honest, I used to think that was something I was going to try to cross off whatever list. I don't know what you'd call it, a bucket list, because it's not really something that's fun. But I never really got into pursuing that once I retired as a player. I think today I would have to walk rather than run, and it would take me about 2.5 days. So probably never going to happen.
Yeah, I would say 360 feet of running. That's probably enough for all the years you did that. Let's kind of cover a few things we're going to cover today. We'll obviously talk a little bit about what's going on right now and your preparations for Tuesday. We'll take a little time to look back kind of at some of the fun moments we've had this year, and then we'll just kind of try to keep it light a little bit here today. And I'm going to start with last night and Glenn Perkins and the way that all unfolded. Glenn, very emotional after the game, and I loved your comments. I thought it was incredibly insightful, articulate about emotion is good, and when you see it and you know people care and the humanizing element, expand if you can on how you saw and envisioned using Glenn this weekend to give him that moment.
Well, you know, I wanted him to pitch for sure, and just trying to look for the right spot. Still trying to, you know, win games and compete, and you know, in the back of your mind, you have a little bit of plan on how you want to use your pitchers and how much rest and how sharp you need to keep them moving forward. But as far as Glenn's case, I was just hoping that it worked out where he would be able to come in here and pitch the end of a game in some, you know, way, shape, or form. And then last night, it just kind of set up that way. And so we brought him in there. I didn't know how emotional it was going to be for him, but you could see that it was a big moment, and I was glad. And I think when people kind of show that, it just reveals, you know, like I talked about last night, we're not robots out there just trying to perform a task. There's emotion, there's feelings, there's family, there's a lot of things that go through your mind as you go through different moments on the field. And last night we saw a very transparent Glenn Perkins, and I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Paul. And I think another thing that came out of that, and we heard this from Glenn even during the celebration over the course of the last week in Cleveland, was how much this team has meant to him, even though he hasn't been able to be a part of it the way he would have hoped to in terms of contributing on the field. And almost for a veteran guy who's been around longer than most of the guys who are out there day to day, how much the energy and the togetherness has really even been an inspiration for a guy like Glenn.
Well, I think so, and it's been great to have him around. You know, I know that when he came back, I made sure that he heard from me, you know, just an understanding of what had to take place for him to get back onto a major league field and a major league mound. And, you know, obviously our teams had kind of a, you know, a great feel around it for the majority of the year, which has only increased here over the past 6 weeks or so. And Glenn's been in that mix, so it's been nice for him to share in that. And when he came back, we all were kind of curious as to how it might unfold in terms of his contributions. Just never really got a chance or felt like it was the right thing to insert him into, you know, overly stressful situations. And I think we all thought that was the best way to move forward. But it's been great having around and being a part of this, that's for sure.
Yeah, very neat night last night at Target Field. We're going to talk more about Miguel Sano when we come back, as well as kind of the mechanics of getting prepared for a game that really flies in the face of what baseball's like for the other 7 months, and that is a one-and-done type situation in the playoffs. All of that's next on your home for Twins Baseball.
Hey, Twins fans, I just want to thank you for tuning in and listening and supporting us all season long.
You're listening to the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Welcome back to the Paul Molitor Show on kind of a gray Sunday morning here across Twins territory. Also, welcome to October, and the Twins play in October baseball, not just today, but on into Tuesday. Our program all season long has been brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota, how memories are created and legends are made. And the man who makes the program is joining us now, and that's manager Paul Molitor. And Paul, Miguel Sano, you guys laid out a plan, kind of hoping to get him some action. He's been able to put 5 plate appearances together now. I assume he'll probably get a few more today. Are you seeing what you hope to see? And has the decision gone from can he play to how is he best utilized, be it as a DH or a pinch hitter at this point?
To be honest, still to be determined on some of those questions. 5 plate appearances here over the course of the last couple of games. We're going to try to make it work where we can see him a little bit more today. And, to be honest, it's hard to gauge exactly where he's at. I think physically he's showing that, you know, he's somewhat mobile enough to probably navigate his way around the bases, although he's only had one chance to be on base so far. I think I am kind of getting closer to the point of trying to decide how we might try to use him going forward, including on Tuesday. We'll try to gather as much information. Maybe there's something today that, you know, pushes me over the top one way or the other, and we'll see how it goes.
Speaking of Tuesday, all year, and really it's kind of how baseball is built, one of the oldest mantras is, well, there's another game tomorrow. And every game is played with the idea, we hear it all the time, don't get too high, don't get too low. Now, Belial likes to say, you unhitch the wagon, get ready to get the guy the next day. And now suddenly you're in the postseason where none of that applies. Everything that you build into approaching how you play a baseball game no longer applies. Is that odd? How do you even deal with that, or do you even address it?
It's one of those things that is obviously significantly different than any other game you play during the season, unless you get your back to the wall at the end of the year and you have to win. It's different than a game 7 in that the whole idea of rosters and how who's available and how you put together your plan for the game has changed. So it's unique. I know the Twins had a couple of game 163s, and even that was a little different because rosters were the 40 man that you had at the end of the year. So I don't know if there's a lot to really try to put on the table as far as addressing the players. Well, obviously we'll have a little bit of talk about some of the things surrounding the game and planning and things we want to be mindful of, but it's very unique. So we have to kind of experience it to see how it goes. I'll tell you one thing, though, is that I feel really good about these guys and just how they are going about it. I think there's a looseness to it. I think that we're going to go in there and let it fly, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to get out there and get to that atmosphere and see how we play and see how we respond. And really, obviously, hoping it goes in our favor. I think there's a really good shot. If we get a good night from Irvin, then we're going to have to figure out a way to get this thing done.
Now, you mentioned Irvin Santana, and I have to think that's a nice luxury to have, to be able to hand a ball to a guy like that who's been there before. Your lineup is kind of, you know, they're versatile. They can do a lot of different things. Is the biggest difference really how you manage pitching, how long you let guys go in a one-game situation?
I think that'll be probably the biggest thing that we have to face. You know, you do your research on the last 5 American League wildcard games, and you kind of get a feel of how some of those games have gone. Every game's different. Every pitching staff is different. You know, Derek and Thad, we're looking at, you know, the average number, the most common number of pitchers used by those 10 teams in those games was 4. And so it's just, you know, you think you're going to need all this pitching. But we'll see how it plays out. I think how we use people, including a guy like Berríos, it's going to make the game fun. Offensively, you know, you're going to have a couple bullets to let fly in terms of pinch running, possible pinch hits, and you have to pick the right spots as best you can to try to take advantage of those things that you have on the bench.
Do you think you tend to stay, players can stay loose, but as a manager, is it difficult to to keep the reins loose? Do you feel like in a one-game thing you want to be more conservative sometimes? Is that human nature?
I think a little bit. You know, the early part of the game, it's, you know, you'll see, have to see how it goes. You know, hopefully you jump out front, even if it's you score first or whatever it is. But you just don't know how the game's going to go. And then, you know, we'll have to see. I think our guys are going to be fine. We've played from behind enough. We've played in tough environments enough. We've bounced back enough that this is one of those games that no matter what happens, first out, first inning, whatever, that you just have to know you play the game every pitch, every out. It's one of the cliches of the game, but when you're down to not, you know, lose and go home kind of situation, win in advance, then you know that you got to give yourself every opportunity until the last out is made to find a way to win that game.
Yeah, great stuff from manager Paul Molitor. Take a break. Back with more in a moment. It's the Paul Molitor Show, final one of the year, right here on your home for Twins Baseball.
Hey, this is Miguel Sano. Thank you for listening to the All Season On.
Chris Atabay welcoming you back to the Paul Molitor Show. Start of a big Sunday here at the ballpark. Remember, first pitch not until 2:10 today. We're on the air at 1:30 with our pregame lineup card. 1 o'clock is Inside Twins, and that'll be Thad Levine with Corey Provis. Right now, manager Paul Molitor is here, recently named by Sports Illustrated as the Manager of the Year, and deservedly so, Paul. So congratulations on that. And I want to ask you about this club in terms of, could you define it? Is there a characteristic? I've heard a lot of words tossed around in the room. Is it resilient? Is it loose? Is it together? You know, all of those apply. But for you, is there a defining trait to this team that you maybe even could identify early and say was maybe a reason or a key to your success as a group?
I think there's been a lot of different things that have been said about our team throughout the year, and I think a lot of them have been very accurate. We've obviously been resilient. You know, there's been, you know, strong character. I think one thing that maybe gets overlooked is cohesive. This team has really bought into the mindset of picking each other up, next man up, whatever it takes, not worrying about individual attention, those type of things. And when you have a group that really has common goals and they bond together and try to find a way to get it done, I think that really increases your chances for success.
You know, one other big change, I think, it's easy to say, well, they're better at this or they're older. From last year to this year, that this year's club handles the little details that we never talk about because they're handled so well, you know, cutoff guys and being in the right spot and all of the things that I know were frustrating for you and for them a year ago. How did that change? Is that just maturity, or is it? Did you approach it differently? Did it just click? Because to me, that little change has created the infrastructure for the rest of the growth.
Well, I guess a couple of thoughts to that. You know, for one, in the eyes of a manager, you're never where you want to be in that regard. I think there's, you know, the way that little things can sway games that might not are observed by people just trying to be entertained by a baseball game. And it might be in the second inning, not necessarily in the eighth or ninth, but something that changed the momentum that affects the outcome in the long run. But I think as a team, when these guys are in the minor leagues and player development, all the things, they hear about little things and moving runners and taking good at-bats and cutoff men and being able to sacrifice, whatever it is. And they just kind of learn them. But I think when you get up here and you see how fast the game gets, and you, if you pay attention, you'll see it almost every day that something small affects a run here, a couple of runs there, a lost opportunity here, a bad base running decision. And it's just amazing how you get, it gets reinforced and you get reaffirmed that yes, those things matter. The old cliche is, if you want to accomplish something really, really big, you got to think really, really small. And I think that applies to our game.
Do you ever stop when you look down the dugout or out on the field or into the clubhouse, and you've known the bulk of these guys since they were teenagers? I mean, since they were kids, literally since they were kids. Do you ever stop and marvel at the men they've grown into?
Well, I think that's part of the pleasure is that having been around a lot of these guys for a number of years as they tried to climb the ladder and now have broken through, is that you know, the maturing that you see not only in their professionalism and their craft and their talent, but just as men, as they figure things out, the respect that they have learned that surrounds every aspect of the game, whether it's, you know, your coaches or your manager or your teammates or the opposing team or the atmosphere, the fact that you get to put on the uniform every day. You know, as you watch those things come along in these people, it's very gratifying, and to have a very small part in that, I think that's what, you know, that's what fills you up probably more than anything is watching these guys develop into men.
Very well said. That's Paul Molitor. We'll take our final break. We'll come back, wrap it up on a lighter note when we return on your home for Twins baseball. Welcome back. It's the final segment of the Paul Molitor Show. And, Paul, as we get into the final segment, just on behalf of Jack and Gino and the whole crew in here, we want to thank you for everything you do every Sunday with us. Managers have a lot on their plate. It cuts into the sparse family time that we get. And not only do you always show up, you always show up smiling. And not only are you transparent and honest and insightful, but the thoughtfulness with which you take even the worst questions that we come up with is much appreciated. And we hope that people understand exactly how special it is to get to this sort of window into what you're thinking on a weekly basis.
What can I say? That's very kind. I really enjoy the time that you and I and Jack get to spend talking about the Minnesota Twins and our great game. And, you know, just as we wrap this down, you know, just a big thank you for Twins Nation out there and the support that we've had throughout the year. It's been incredible. I think just even these last couple of days to see the gratitude expressed by our fans, it goes both ways. We appreciate that. But as far as the show, thanks. You guys always make it easy for me. I have to be thankful. I got a Major League Manager's radio show. That's a pretty good gig. So thanks.
Well, I think it is a pretty good gig, and I would echo those sentiments. So in light of that, I'm going to ask you a few things to close that you can't think about because there's no possible amount of thought that could give you any means of giving a better answer. We're just going to keep it completely lighthearted here. I'm going to put you on kind of a hot seat here for the last couple.
Right.
Think about your staff as well as your players. Best dresser in that clubhouse.
I'll go with Irvin.
Okay, pretty good.
Yeah.
What about with your coaches?
A lot of people on the wrong end of that question, but there's a few that are at the right end. So
hey, if you know what, we got a bus right here. If you want to drive over some of the people on the wrong end, feel free.
Yeah, there you go.
Except I might be under that bus, so maybe that's not such a good idea. All right, if you needed to have one of your players babysit your kids, who are you entrusting with that duty?
Kyle Gibson.
Yeah, well, that's no brainer. That's a pretty good one. No offense to anybody else, but I think that's a quick answer right there. Funniest guy. You need somebody to give a toast. Maybe they're going to do a roast of Paul Molitor. Who are you going to go with?
Oh, man. I would say Esco.
No, you can't go wrong with Esco on that, huh?
Yeah, and sometimes he's not trying to be funny. He's just funny. So.
You guys like to celebrate after wins as well. You should. Who's got the best dance moves? And maybe who's got the most secret dance moves that you wouldn't expect?
Oh, man. You know, the dancing isn't quite like it was a couple of years ago. But I don't know. I put Doze and Buck in there for sure. Those are two that come to mind right out of the chute. Doze is, you know, don't let him fool you. He with that country thing, he can do the other thing pretty good too. So.
Is there when you look around those players, you see future managers in that room?
You know, don't really haven't given a lot of thought to who might. Go that route. I mean, you know, the guys that are really mindful about the game, position-wise, it's hard to say who might unfold. I know people that will be able to be good coaches and have a good influence are some of those people that we brought in last winter, Belisle and Jimenez, you know, Castro. And in fact, the manager thing, you know, Castro sees the game pretty good. He's got the brain for it, I'll tell you that.
Did you ever think when you were one of those players that you were a future manager?
You know, I didn't really think about it much. Every once in a while when you get close to retiring, people ask you if you have any interest, and it might flash across, but you don't really start pondering until those opportunities come up. But, yeah, I don't know. It took me a long time to get here, but it sure has been worthwhile, worth it. worthwhile as far as the weight was concerned.
Yeah, I think worthwhile for all of us on the other end of it, too. Sir, enjoy. We'll see you here at the ballpark a little bit later on, one to go, and then we get down to business in New York. Congratulations on what's been a fun ride and the continuation of that ride.
I appreciate that, man. Have a great Sunday.
All right.
Look forward to doing this again down the road.
I would like that very, very much. That's Paul Molitor. This is the Paul Molitor Show. And again, Paul Molitor Show has been brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. It's how memories are created and how legends are made. This, of course, the final day of the regular season. It's a big day, as you would expect, here at Target Field today. We are just the beginning of the day. Coming up today at 1 o'clock, it's going to be Inside Twins. Thad Levine will join Corey Provis to talk about a lot of different facets of this season, and of course leading up to the wild card game. It's a 1:30 pregame today. It's a 2:10 first pitch. Bartolo Colon will throw it, and then Tuesday night, want to remind everybody that it's an hour-long pregame show. It'll get underway at 6 o'clock, first pitch at 7:09 central time, an hour-long postgame show as well. Now Jack Morris is not here, but on behalf of Jack and Gino and the Big Ninja and Drew and Squire and everybody who makes our Sunday morning programming possible throughout the course of a long season, well, I want to say thank you to all of you for joining us from wherever you've joined us throughout the course of the last 6 to 7 months. It's been our pleasure. We look for a lot more fun to come here in 2017 with the Minnesota Twins right here on your home for Twins Baseball.